Help your small business thrive and stay connected with the Comcast Business Complete Connectivity Solution. It's the largest, fastest, reliable network. Advanced gig speed Wi-Fi and cyber threat protection. Get started for just $40 a month for 12 months with no annual contract when you add mobile. Plus, ask how to get up to a $750 prepaid card. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Ends 2/21/2023. Restrictions apply. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. New 100 megabits per second internet and Comcast Business Security Edge customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra. After 12 months, regular rates apply. Gig internet required for gig Wi-Fi.
Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
All right, well, see, that's what happens. Welcome to episode 322 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Super excited. I just want to dive like right into it because I'm super excited to have Khan on the show today. Khan is a detailer. He has a lot of stuff going on other than detailing. He was going to take it full time. He had a shop, and then I don't know what happened. So I'm so excited to get into all that, Khan. But before we get into like what I think's interesting, and I think it's interesting to me because I know you, not all of it, but a lot of your backstory. So first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, Jimbo. And it's this is something, a dream come true. I know I'm kind of going to geek out a little bit here.
Oh, no.
I've listened to your show numerous amount of times. And you know, I'm like, I envy the guys that have been on your show. I think you're a great host. So, you know, be able to be now on it, it's as cool as I thought it would be. So thank you for having me. So kind of give everybody a quick backstory. Obviously, the odd name, Khan, easy way to remember it is like the bad guy from the Star Trek movies, the Wrath of. Obviously, you can picture the scene. And that's kind of what I go with. So it's easy to remember my name, Star Trek guy. I'm out of a medium-sized city in Michigan called Grand Rapids. If you are a beer connoisseur, you probably know my town. Beer, we've been kind of named the official Beer City USA. So I've kind of, for the last couple of years, have been slowly working my way into this detailing community, which is absolutely an amazing experience. My background is, my education is actually in personal training. I was a personal trainer out in Chicago for the better part of a decade, had some really high-end clientele. Unfortunately, with the economy, it didn't work out as well as I hoped in the mid-2000s when the housing market crashed. So I had gone to college in this Grand Rapids area, and I've always called it a small Chicago, and it has a culture like a big city, but it's really small. And so I knew the income levels and things like that were a lot more easier to live in Grand Rapids than it was in Chicago. So I kind of moved here, kind of replanted my roots, and I indulged into electronics. You know, it was a hobby of mine. I listened to, you know, I have a surround sound system and listened to music growing up and stuff like that. I have the big speakers, and I'm like, you know what? I could talk about this. I could sell this. And I just kind of took where how far I could go. And, you know, right now I have a day job working for a company called Audio Advisor, and they retail, it's mail order retail for high-end electronics, you know, turntables, speakers, things like that. It's a great, great career. But unfortunately, I'm in a box, what I call it, in a box, you know, in an office space, in a cubicle. I'm on a computer all day. It's about as interesting as you can picture it. And I recently had bought a really nice car, and I kind of wanted to make it look good and shine it up and stuff like that. And I had some experiences from when I was, you know, like my 16, 17, doing some detail work for the neighbors and stuff like that. So I kind of went out and bought my chemicals from the local auto supply store and kind of did this and did that. And the car's black. So obviously you're going to smar it as soon as you play it. You're going to do all these mistakes. And I started searching on YouTube. And what I discovered was the detailing industry had completely changed from when I was a teenager, when I was in the, you know, when it was known as the guy in the back who just runs a mop in a bucket kind of thing, or a sponge in a bucket, and to this huge culture. And there's this, you know, big name people that are really pushing the brand, and it, and the detailing world is changing, you know, and that's really what kind of drew me into it. It's changing from this bucket and sponge guy that knows how to operate an aisle at your local, auto supply store to an art. You know, it's being has as much respect as a auto body mechanic or body, you know, a body shop that's built custom cars and stuff like that. And I was like, man, this is just so much fun. And I just kind of indulged in. And I just now that's where I'm at. 3 years later, I'm here and I'm talking to Jimbo on the Auto Detailing podcast. So this is kind of a it's happened real quickly. So obviously the Grand Rapids market is a little bit different than Chicago. You know, if you ever lived in Chicago, it's a daily scene to see a Ferrari or a Bentley or Rolls. You know, it happens. There's a lot of those type of people that live in that area. In the Michigan area, it wasn't like that. You know, when I went to college here, it wasn't like that. It was just incredibly rare to see a Ferrari. I mean, you typically would see one in a museum or at an auto show. That was the only time you would see one. And when I came back, they were everywhere. You know, every good sunny day, you would see a beautiful, you know, supercar and something like that. And I started realizing, and I asked myself, where do these guys get their car washed at? You know, where do you take a $500,000 car in the Grand Rapids market to get it properly washed? There wasn't anything. The market hadn't adjusted. The detailing side of the market hadn't adjusted to the automotive side. So there's a big void here. And as a guy that sees a good opportunity, I said, I'm like, you know what? The Grand Rapids market needs a high-end, dedicated detailer that can focus in on these luxury automobiles that can properly detail them. And that's kind of where I started. Now, the prices I wanted to charge, the things I wanted to do, I didn't know if the market had it. So instead of just jumping in with both feet, get the building and get the sign and say grand opening and just waiting for customers to pour in, I started off in my driveway. You know, and I try to reach out to customers. I had a nice set of stack of business cards. Wherever I see somebody at a gas station or at a grocery store that had a nice car, I would go compliment them and really make it about them. Really never push the, oh, I'm high-end detailer. It was all about, hey, you got a beautiful car. Here's my business card. If you ever need any advice, just give me a call. I'd love to just kind of talk about your vehicle. And it slowly started getting higher in clients. You do one good job, that customer had such an incredible experience with you, tells other people, and you know, newer customers come. And there, I have a photo of last year where I had the net value of the vehicles in my driveway exceeded the net value of the homes in my neighborhood. So I knew that was last summer. I knew that the Grand Rapids market had the need for the detailer. I had the customer base, and then it was time to get the building. And so I before I did that, I wanted to do it right the first time. So I reached out and tried to find places where I can get my education increased in the detailing world. So I ran across a gentleman named Todd Cooperator out of Columbus, Ohio. He owns a company called Esoteric, and he actually has a detailing academy called Esoteric Detailing. And funny thing happened is that he's actually an audiophile. And so I was following him on Facebook, and one day he posted one of his turntables. I'm like, hey, you know, beautiful Prospect 6 turntable. And he goes, oh, man, you know what you're talking about. And we kind of hit it off. And he eventually invited me down to his class. And I took his weekend class, which is extremely intense. The first day is just download of class. You know, you sit at the table, it's just a hard download of information. Second day, you go out in the shop and you actually detail a very high-end car. And Todd and his team at Esoteric kind of teaches you. And then it's really hands-on. And it's a small group of people. Great experience there. So I came out of that with great confidence. You know, the things that I thought I knew got validated by a professional. So I knew I was on the right track. And then I got hungry. I wanted more education. So the IDA popped up, and the opportunity to kind of be an IDA certified detailer just drew my attention. You know, I really like what the IDA was doing and is doing, is to say, let's make a standardized way for detailers to say, hey, I've gotten this far, and make it nationwide. You know, just like a mechanic has a mechanic license, or a home builder has a home builder license, they're trying to create that for the detailing world. So when you do walk to a customer walks up to you, or you go find a customer, you can say, hey, look, not only that I know I'm good, there's a certification that says that I've gone the extra mile to ensure that I am who I say I am. So I really kind of indulge into that, joined the IDA, had great experience. Those guys there are really awesome group. And then what really happened that kind of made my detailing business just explode, that kind of makes this whole story come back around, was when I was a kid, when I was working at that small detail shop in my 16, 17, I actually ran into that owner again just last summer. And he owns a high-end, I think what they call it, a broker, automotive broker. So they really, you know, deal with high-end cars and stuff like that. They sell cars. They have a, it's called GR Auto Gallery. And he ran into me. He goes, oh, what are you doing these days? It's great to see you. I'm like, hey, I'm into the detailing thing. So we kind of are in the midst of joining forces, because he obviously sells these luxury cars. Like for right now, like I'm detailing one of his customers' cars. It's a 1962 Corvette that's in the three-figure mark. It's just a beautiful piece of machinery. Honored to detail it. So it's that really kind of set me ahead of it. Sorry about that. Ahead of it.
You're good. Water. You've been on a roll. That's why I was excited not to totally take us off on a tangent, which I'm really good at doing. But I was so excited to have. I'm excited to have people on the show that have so much energy and so much enthusiasm and so much like passion for what they're doing, and that's why I was so excited to have you on the show too, because you exude all that. So if you got some water, keep going.
I appreciate it. Sorry about that, everybody. Just had lunch and choking on a potato chip. So what happened with that GR Auto Gallery was they had a very high-end client. I mean very, very high. A name that people would recognize, and I'm going to keep it at that. And he had been working on a custom car that he's been building for like the last 3 years, and it was pushing close to the $500,000 marker. And he wanted to take the car to SEMA. So he sent the information in, and SEMA actually invited him. And the owner reached out to me and said, hey, look, I'm sending my car to SEMA.
Sorry,
I wanted to look
sorry
the
to interrupt.
Best. What can
just,
you do?
Just because I missed the part. So this is the broker guy or a different guy?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, the GR Auto broker guy got
you
me in
said
contact
it. I just wanted
with
to make sure I was on the same page.
No. Along. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay,
cool. Sorry. I'm
No.
Excited with this whole show thing.
No, you're doing great. I just want to make sure I'm following along.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's like, hey, I'm gonna have set this car out there. Can you, dial it in before we send it? And I'm like, look, it's going to SEMA. Like I can make it look good, but it's not gonna last. I mean, people are gonna walk up and touch it and things like that. You probably should send me with it. Good hustle to get to SEMA, right? And I'm like, look, I'll render my services for free. I'll take care of my services. Don't worry about that. Just cover the expenses of getting me to SEMA. Because obviously, we all know if you're a car guy, even remotely interested in the cars, SEMA is like the holy grail. It's a must thing to do. And I wasn't going to be there for 1 day or 2 days. I was going to be there for the whole event. I was actually out there for 8 days. And it was
that's
kind of really exactly long time in Vegas very long time and where I was staying also I was at the furthest hotel physically possible away from the convention center. I was at Mandalay Bay, so I had to walk from Mandalay Bay to the Luxor to New York, cross the street to MGM, hop on the metro all the way to Westgate, then I was at the convention center, and that would take me about an hour each morning to make that happen.
And like I told you while we were there, they do have a service called Uber.
I did Uber the first day. Yeah, it was $100 a round trip.
No way.
It hurt so bad. I'm like, $100. I'm like, ooh.
Whoa.
I'm like, I'll walk, thanks. Doing the math, I'm like, it's going to cost me $1,000 pretty much for a week.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And so... It was a blast, though. I mean, since SEMA, I've been at 110% output. It's just everything that I could ever wish for in any industry, in any hobby or any career that you ever indulge in, to get the feedback that I'm getting from the movers, the shakers of the industry. It's just remarkable. I had never expected this. And, I don't know if it was my enthusiasm, if it was my go-getter attitude, but it has paid off. The hard work paid off. Now, kind of sidestep here, while I was detailing in my garage, and just to give you an idea, when I picture a garage, people picture, oh, you know, a two-stall garage, you got some room, you know, get a little bit of elbow space. No, sir. This is a one-stall garage, and so small that you actually have to park the car to one side of the building to be able to even open the doors. That's how small the garage was. And I detailed, you know, everything from your BMW 7 Series to your Audi 6 Series. I even had a BMW X5 in there, SUV. Talk about cramped space in, you know, August at 90-degree weather, no air conditioning, no ventilation. So what – I mean, definitely a turmoil. Most people would not do that.
Yep.
And especially the work that I was doing. You know, I was doing 18 to 30-hour paint corrections for these vehicles, you know, with ceramic coatings and things of that nature. But it has paid off. It really has paid off. And so at SEMA, I made the most of it. I went and hung out with the guys at Rupes and the IDA and some of the other brands that I logged. And one of the things that happened was that really was cool was on one of your podcasts, and I forget the episode. You'll have to kind of look back and find that. It was the episode where you introduced Ian from AutoFiber.
Yep.
And talk about a knowledge guy. I mean, Ian, he is almost like what I would say the mad scientist of the microfiber world. So, you know, we have some people like Kevin Brown, who's the god of buffing and then the god of control of contamination on your pads. You know, he knows all that intricacy. I would say Ian from AutoFiber is that guy. He comes up with the craziest microfiber ideas, really thinks out of the box. And the podcast you had, his knowledge of microfiber and all that kind of stuff just really was cool. And then shortly after that podcast, you guys had introduced the auto podcast towels. You were giving them away. You know, you just
So
I got one.
Yep.
Yep.
The screen printed towels. Those things went crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
But to your point about Ian being like, you know, so willing to try anything and kind of trying to be ahead of the curve, that was Ian's idea, you know, and he texted me a picture of it one day and he's like, yeah, I got 100 of these printed. In my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, Ian, there's no way we're going to be able to get rid of 100 of those things. Like, what are you thinking? Like, I didn't say that, of course. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is cool, you know? But I'm thinking in my head, like, 100 of them? Are you nuts? Like, how much did that cost? We're never going to get rid of them. And literally, I posted a picture, and they were gone within, like, a day. Maybe an hour.
Minutes.
It was an hour. I don't know what it was. But they were gone. And I was like, whoa.
I got one. I got one. I thought it was a cool little thing you can put on my – I mean, I don't even use it. It literally just sits on my shelf as decoration. But the thing is that that print is not actually silkscreen. It's a type of dye that he actually dyes the fibers in that area. And it's not a loose dye either. It's a very tight dye. So you can actually write very cleanly. I mean, I don't know if you guys are out there, have one of Jimbo's towels, but I mean, it's pretty impressive.
He actually still has them on his website. So if you can go on autofiber.com and they're actually available for purchase now. Let me see if I can pull it up. I think they're
a
dollar or something like that, or $3. I mean, and obviously there was one guy that was like, this is the most useless towel. You can't use it because it's screen printed. I'm like, obviously, like, you know, it's not a towel that you're going to use. It's not the point, but I think
it's a marketing genius idea. Because here's the thing, like, where do I meet my customers? Like, where do we, most of us detailers, meet our customers? Out on the street. Hand them a business card, you're just like anybody else.
Right.
Hand them a towel.
Yes.
You got a message there.
And,
you know, and
as you say that,
as
you say that on Ian's website, he will do custom printing. It's called dye sublimation.
Well, that's what I was going to get at.
Okay, got it.
That's what I was going to get at. So I got that towel. I'm like, dude, I have to get in on this. So I reach out to Ian, and I find his email address, send him an email. I'm like, hey, dude, do you do that for other people, or was this like a one-time thing for Jimbo? And he goes, no, we can make arrangements. And we went back and forth, a couple emails and stuff like that. And obviously, through email conversation, we get to know each other a little bit and kind of what I'm looking for. And he made these towels for me, and I hand them out. Like, I hand them out when I'm at car shows, at, you know, Cars and Coffee. And then I also put it in my customer's car. So I have a little to-go package that I give my customers.
So smart.
So like a,
yep.
I, Yep. I fold up the towel in a way that my logo appears, and it's not complex. There's not a lot of information on there. It's just my logo and my phone number. And my thought was, is that if that person I give that towel to cannot, you know, figure out who I am, good for them. They're not probably my customer, which is fine. But it was just, I give it away to my customer. I also do other things too for my customer. I also take, I go to Costco and buy the big cases of water bottles, you know, the water, you know, the little 12-ounce waters. And I cut the label off and I put my label on it. And I just print it off from, you know, off my regular HP printer at home. And I put my label and it just says, thank you for your business. And then I also put a little tiny, like travel case, air freshener, and travel case quick detailer. So it's kind of like a little to-go bag that I give my customer after they got in service. So the towel was part of that. And so I got to know Ian and all, obviously from the podcast. And then now I got these marketing towels from him, and they're just been phenomenal things, absolutely phenomenal. And so then I'm like, okay, what is this towels all about? So I bought the kit that you and Ian put together, the Jimbo kit.
Yep.
So I bought that. It kind of gave me an opportunity to play around with all his stuff, and I love his towels. I mean, I really do. Like, my favorites are his Elite Edgeless. I rock those pretty much for everything, including coatings. It's a great towel. It's reasonably priced that when you've done coating, you can throw it away without cringing. Because, I mean, there's towels out there that are very expensive and very effective. But, man, throwing away a $5 towel kind of, like, hurts a little bit.
Hurts a lot of it.
So these were a little bit more affordable. Yeah, exactly. Hurts a lot of it for us detailers. So when I was out in SEMA, like, it was finally the opportunity to meet Ian in person. You know, we've only had talked over the phone or over email. So now I'm at to meet him in person. So there I am hanging out. And so he's such a cool guy, down to earth. Just the rest of you California people, just really cool, laid back and chill. You know, it must be nice. You know, I'm sitting here in 12 degree weather.
I got my garage open. I am a little chilly, so I do have a sweatshirt on because it's been we've had a cold streak of about 72 degrees. So, but it's been pretty nice.
it's I think 12 right now, and we have a storm coming in this afternoon. And it's supposed to dump 12 inches of snow in like 3 or 4 hours.
Oh my gosh!
So. Yeah,
hey, I heard a good quote about. I heard a good quote about snow and cold places. I was listening to a podcast, and the guest was from Finland, and they were both laughing. If it was originally from Finland, now he lives in LA, and he goes, "Yeah, snow. I think snow is meant to only visit. Like, you only go to the snow to visit, not to live in."
Yes, absolutely. Like, I love Colorado. Like, I would like go to Colorado. I love the snow. I love everything about it. I love the cold. But then I can leave.
Right.
Get on my plane and go back.
Yep.
You know. Yep. So I envy you, Mr. California, out there. You guys. But hey, you had. It's not all peaches and cream. You guys have. You know. Really tight environmental laws and stuff like that. So being a detailer in California, man, you guys have to really know your rules and laws and when it comes to detailing. So. That's cool that a lot of you guys make a great business out there.
Right.
Because, I mean, it sounds like it's hard.
It's not easy.
So now we met at SEMA, and so I'm like, hey, you know, like kind of sound like nerd. I'm like, hey, you know, Jimbo, obviously you've been on his podcast. Can we kind of meet? And he's like, yeah, sure. You know, I'll make the arrangement. This is not creepy at all, you know.
Right.
And so obviously we met. You were there. You know, you're Jimbo. And so we went out to dinner. I think we had some great conversation at the dinner. And
not only did we have great conversation. So first of all, I was kind of expecting, I didn't know what to expect. Ian, and I'll just give you my perspective from this, but,
sure.
You know, it, because I think it's funny and interesting kind of looking hindsight on it. But Ian goes, me and Ian were meeting up for dinner and he goes, hey, this guy Khan really wants to meet you. And funny, because you mentioned it at the beginning of our conversation today, and it's like, I'm thinking like Khan, huh? Like, that's an interesting name. I mean, coming from Jimbo, right? Like, come on, I have zero room to talk. No one takes my name serious, but I'm like, Khan. And then you know how you start playing, like figuring out what that person's gonna look like in person, you know? And I'm Khan, okay, like maybe this is like a black dude or an Asian dude or like, I have no idea, right? And then you roll up and you're like a white guy. Like, I was like, what? Like, okay, cool. And then, you know, and then you almost broke my hand when you shook it, which was cool. But then it led.
I definitely, Sorry, go ahead.
No. It's totally fine. I'm used to interrupting people, so I don't mind when I get interrupted. But then we're like, yeah, let's go to dinner. And we're like, well, where should we go? And I think it was it you or Ian that came up with the place? Or was it Ian? Like,
yeah, Ian did.
Oh, I got this place right around the corner. And corner meant like a mile walk. But, man.
We're in Vegas. I mean, that I got used to that in Vegas. You know, the one thing that was weird in Vegas was if you ask anybody for anything, it was always around the corner. They're like, hey, what is the bathroom? Oh, just right around the corner. You get around the corner, there was nothing to be seen. Like, you would have to ask somebody else. And they're like, oh, yeah, around that corner.
Yeah, no such thing as around the corner. It's freaking ridiculous. Whoever it was, whosever idea was a phenomenal idea. And just we had the most incredible Brazilian. I had never had Brazilian barbecue. I didn't even know. Like, they sit us down and they came with like, what was it? Like shrimp on ice. And I'm like, wow. Like, I didn't know how Brazilian barbecue worked. So like, I'm like, wow, this freaking server is really laying it on thick to like buy the appetizer. You know, I'm like, what a great idea. Like, bring out the appetizer and then ask if they want to get the appetizer. You know, like, wow, that is smart. Like, I was even trying to be like, wow, how could I do that in detailing? Like, that's really good. I didn't know it was like freaking a buffet, pretty much.
You actually do. Actually, you did. That's funny you say that. You had that idea where you detailed a section of a customer's car. I use that.
I guess that would be the same, right? That would be the same, I guess.
Yep. That's same idea, you know?
But I was like, wow. This is and I'll never ever ever forget that meal. That was like, because I was leaving that night to go home, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is what a way to end this.
Well, you left the best part out, the coaster thing, the red and red and green coaster. Yeah, you would flip the green coaster over, and then like servers, not just one, like servers out of everywhere would just come flocking to you with all these different types of meats, you know, bacon wrapped pork and just all this crazy stuff. And then when you had enough, you would flip the coaster over to red, and they kind of knew that you were kind of doing your thing right now.
It was just
so
insane.
Yeah, it was really cool. That was Ian's idea, and It was a cool conversation to meet you. Obviously, you had to run real quick, so but still, it was a memorable moment.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So the whole SEMA thing was just absolutely just crazy. So I get back from SEMA, and the dust hadn't even settled from that. The MT, Mobile Tech Expo was coming up, and I'm like, look, I was still, you know, enjoying the ride from SEMA. I'm like, you know what, I got to do this again, and I bought my tickets and made the plunge for that, and so I came out to SEMA, came out to MTE, was that what, 2-3 weeks ago? And that was just an incredible event. I mean, SEMA was awesome. I would love to go back to SEMA as an invited guest, maybe for one of the brands or somebody, you know, like maybe represent Ian or something like that, help him out, work his booth. But like, just go there and wander. I don't know if I could, you know, right now, I don't know. It was just a lot. It was just a lot to take in. I mean, like even on day 7, I was walking down hallways that I didn't even know existed, and they had rooms full of stuff, you know? Yep. So after a while, it just became Ford, you know, Mustang and, you know, Chevy Camaro, and then, oh, look, blue rim, red rim, chrome rim. It kind of blended it a little bit after a while. So I kind of was looking forward to MTE because it's just the more refined, more focused, and obviously the show is catered to the paintless dent repair guys, and then the detailers are kind of like the guests, but it's kind of blending. I think this year you probably agree there was a big detail presence. It was my first year, so I don't know.
Yeah, it was my first year too, so I didn't know. I'll be honest, I was a little, because that's what everyone had been saying, is like, oh my gosh, the presence for detailers is so, like, so big, so much. And so maybe I misunderstood, and I was thinking like, wow, okay, we're going to have like, you know, 50% PDR techs, 50% detailers. So, you know, I was expecting more detailers.
Okay.
But still, there was still what I liked about it, though, honestly, and I talked about this a little bit on a little recap show I did, was like, because there wasn't a ton, and because it wasn't like SEMA, it seemed like it drew all the guys closer together. Or all the all the detailers closer together. That's what I thought. So I actually didn't mind that it was smaller.
Well, and that's why I'm going next year. There's no question about it.
I mean,
like, I've already, like, I've made the commitment, and I'm planning on going next year. It's because of that experience. For the two things. One was the knowledge day. Definitely go to the, everything was held on Friday. It was an 8-hour event. Started at 8 a.m., went to 5 p.m., and it was class after class after class. It just never stopped. But it was great. Now, did I walk away with this incredible plethora of information? No, but what it did give me was, some great tidbits of information, what I call like nuggets of info or new ideas that I made, a different direction I never thought of going. So it definitely had value to be in those classes. And obviously, some of the instructors were, you had Mike Phillips from Auto Geek. He did like 3 or 4 classes. I mean, an opportunity to be able to sit there and listen to his philosophy or his ideas about detailing is a great opportunity. And then Saturday, Sunday, what was so awesome about that is exactly what you said, Jimbo. There wasn't much going on for detailers. There wasn't booth after booth after booth. And it wasn't like, these hot sales guys trying to talk you into a product. It was all the details, the guys who are in the trenches, the guys who are who sling the compound and clean the cars, were all there, and the conversations were just awesome. And be able to get closer involved, get to know each other, get away from the social media presence of who you are to who you really are as a person. So it was an awesome experience, and I mean, what a bond I think the detailing community has. That's one of the things that has really made me have this massive paradigm shift in my life, because I'll be honest with you, my current day job, it's a fairly reasonable job. I drive a very nice luxury car. I live in a very decent home and in a decent neighborhood in one of the suburbs of Grand Rapids. I shouldn't have much to complain about. Other than the fact that it's the same thing over and over again, but for me, that what drew me to the detailing world was this community, was this camaraderie that we have among ourselves. One of the things that I don't really communicate into the Facebook forums, I read them and I kind of follow along and stuff like that. I really like some of the conversations, but like what I've noticed lately is that if there's anybody out on any Facebook forum that bashes anybody or bashes a product or just slings mud for no apparent reason, all us other detailers just snuff that person out. And we just say, this is not going to be tolerated. And I love that, because one of the things that I've kind of have started to realize in the audiophile world is that people are really, my system's better and I know more than you. And, this is how you should do it. And if you don't do it my way, you're not doing it right. And there's just a lot of negative aura. There's not that team camaraderie, especially for such a small hobby. You would think you would have that. There's not an audiophile in every corner. Most people don't even know what an audiophile is. And that kind of started to turn me off, especially being a younger guy. Most audio enthusiasts are my parents' age or older. And so for me to try to get involved with that, it was difficult. You had a lot of cold shoulders and a lot of difficult people to deal with. And, and then you go to this detail side and you can walk up to Mike Phillips and just start talking to him. He'll talk to you, literally talk to you. He'll connect with you. And, you could walk up to Rennie Doyle and you could pat him on the back and he'll have a conversation. You can talk to Jimbo. You can run into him 7 times at the MTE, and every time he'll say hi.
And then he still got mad when I didn't say bye to you. Just kidding.
I got to take it where I can take it down.
I hear you.
is that camaraderie that I really like, and also the pillars of the industry are not out there just marketing themselves. They're marketing the industry. They're pushing the industry, and they're changing the public's opinion on what detailing really is. So in my current business structure, I try to avoid the word detailing. I really do, because when I talk to a customer, I say, oh, I'm a detailer, you get that glazed over look right away. You right away, you can tell, they're like, oh, great, you know how to operate a sponge. They really don't understand the involvement that detailing has become. The knowledge that you have to understand the differences in paints from brand of vehicle to even in the same brand of vehicle, different colors have different characteristics. And to know all that information, to properly dial in a car, they don't understand that. So I try to avoid that word. But it's great to have people that are pushing the industry, that are changing that name. So when you say detailing, you don't think sponge and your car supply aisle. You think, oh, a professional, a guy who spent hundreds of hours educating himself, learning how paint responds to influence and things of that nature. So I love this part of that industry. That's what's kind of made me want more of it. And obviously the other thing is that the market's there. It's growing. I mean, I think what auto, you know, detailing is what, an $80 million a year industry.
It's definitely growing. Yeah.
I think I can get my hand on one of those million, and there's 80 of them, you know, so it might as well try to make that attempt. It's a dream. Hey, everybody's got to have a goal. Hey, you know, you might not be able to reach it.
Yep.
Yeah. And to stay positive, I think, you know, it's important that you have to take it one step at a time. And like for me, you know, obviously I haven't quite made it yet because obviously we haven't even gotten to the subject of what's going on with my whole,
Yeah, let's get there. Let's get there because at Mobile Tech, and that's what I was really excited to talk about.
Yeah.
Before, because at Mobile Tech, you're like, tell us what the plan was going into Mobile Tech. Cause I'm pretty sure you thought you were maybe even going to get let go on Friday.
Yep. So, as I, you know, my goal was for 2018 was to take this full time. So it's now establish, you know, a facility. I wanted, obviously being in Michigan, mobile is a little more difficult task in the detailing, especially when you're doing ceramic coatings and stuff. You know, I wanted a fixed location.
Right. Especially where you're at. I mean, it's gotta be a complete nightmare during the winter.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. I mean, for example, like this Corvette, it got shipped here on a truck. It's leaving on a truck, so it's never going to be able to see outdoors. I mean, but it has to deal with that condition because right now there's about a foot of snow in front of my garage door. But right before I went to MTE, it just kind of happened so quickly, which now I know it hasn't worked out. So now I know why it happened so quickly. It was too good to be true. But I had hired a marketing company. And I definitely advise for anybody who wants to take detailing or take any business for that matter seriously, consider hiring a marketing company. I mean, I obviously, you know, the towels, I listen to you guys and, you know, and I try to have all these creative ideas. But the one thing that I never thought of was creating a brand. So I hired this marketing company and they're helping me create this brand image, you know, talk about the essence of what my company is. But it was all built on the idea of me having a brick and mortar, you know, a fixed location. So I walk out of this meeting. I'm like, man, you know, I have hired this marketing company. I don't have a fixed location. What am I going to do? I need to find a building. And then literally the next day I get a phone call from a buddy of mine. And he's like, hey, dude, you know, can you come meet me over here? I got something to show you. So I come by and he's like, what do you think? And he's showing me this building. And he's like, hey, I'm looking at getting this building. And you know, and I want you to go in with me on it. And he's a mechanic and he kind of deals with high-end clientele as well. So I'm like, oh, great symmetry. You know, the car can come to one location, get tires rotated, brakes fixed, oil change, and then on top of it, get it clean. So what a great idea. Let's do it. So we dive in and we sign the lease and all that kind of stuff. And one of the big things at MTE was to get, you know, I wanted to get with a brand, represent a brand and be certified underneath that brand for coatings, and they have a wide line of products. But that was one of the big things that when I went to MTE was to close that deal. And I went out there and I was lucky enough that we made a deal and we were ready to take the next step. And you know, while I'm at MTE MTV, show my age, at MTE, my partner's calling me up, says, hey, we got to knock this wall down. We got to pour the concrete, you know, and I'm just hearing money going ching, 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 ching as we're trying to get this place set up. So we got the concrete poured. I come back and right away, literally the day after I get back. So I get back on Monday.
Yep.
Monday, I get a phone call from that GR Auto Gallery company. They say, hey, we have a customer that flew in on his own jet. And he just bought this Corvette and he wants it dialed in. Get down here. We need your expertise. So I run down there, talk to the guy, and it was funny. I mean, the gentleman's out in New York and we come up with a price and he goes, well, cut me a deal. And obviously a New York guy, and be like, you know what? I can cut you a deal, or would you rather have me do it right? And he goes, you know what? I'll pay your price. So no negotiating on price. So he gives me the car. I'm like, great. It's going to help me cover the expenses for the building, move the car in. And this week, Monday, so that was last week, Monday. So this week, Monday, the walls have crashed in on itself. Unfortunately, things are not starting to pan out.
So what happened? Yeah.
Well, two things I found out. One, my partner, my friend, who was going to be the mechanic, well, come to find out, he does not have a mechanic's license, doesn't plan on getting a mechanic's license, doesn't have insurance, does not plan on having insurance, does not even plan on even having an LLC for his company. And I'm like, you know, that's a lot of risk, man. You know, and right now, Michigan, it's been on the news twice in like this month alone. Michigan's cracking down on these mechanic shops that are operating without licenses. And it's a big deal. Like one of the news that was just, I think it was just released a couple days ago, they show a picture of the building with the yellow tape and the sign that says cease and disorder. And I'm like, you know, you got to get a license. This is not going to work for me. I'm like, I can't have, you know, a customer's $500,000 car and have to make that phone call and say, oh yeah, my cohabitant partner, yeah, the building's right. Shut. I can't get to your car. We have to go to court to get bail access to it. That's a conversation I would never want to happen.
Right.
And so then the final, so that was a big concern for me and my customers, you know, and the image too. You know, obviously I'm still creating a brand image. I'm still trying to get my name out there, and something like that could just crush my business and crush my future. So, and I'm like, okay, that's a big red flag. And then the second red flag was when the city came in on Monday with an inspector. Well, come to find out, this building is not zoned as industrial. It is zoned only as retail. So I'm like, well, there's a garage door in the front. How's that possible? I mean, if you, you know, if you go to my Facebook page, there's a YouTube video or a quick video that I did. It shows the building so you can kind of see what I'm talking about. And there was a wall there in that video. Well, that wall had to be there because that door was technically considered storage for the retail spot. So it was never designed to be able to pull cars in. So now we have issues with noise. You know, so obviously air compressors, walking machines are not necessarily the quietest. And, you know, and then also me, you know, I haven't completely cut ties to my day job yet. So I come here, like, for example, I was here last night until 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm back here at 10 o'clock, you know, and pulling all-nighters. And so the neighbors are probably are not a big fan of what's going on right now. So between the mechanic not having a license and this building not being zoned correctly, it's jump ship time. And I talked to the landlord, and it wasn't like the landlord was selling me one thing and it turned out to be another thing.
Right.
He actually didn't know either, because obviously – we talked about knocking the wall down. I mean, it's his place.
Right.
And so he didn't know either. So he's cool enough that he's going to let me get this car fixed, you know, dialed in, get it out. And then we're going to kind of work out some financial issues, you know, financial things, which I'm okay with if I take a little bit of a loss. And
sure.
It's a lesson learned, you know, before you rent a building, call your city, find out if it's zoned correctly. You know, these are things that obviously you learn as a new business person as you go down the path. I mean, take things slowly. And I mean, obviously I was excited and jumped into it. And that's where the mistake happened. It happened too quickly. It happened too easily. I should have pumped the brakes a little bit. I should have contacted a lawyer or even just made a phone call to the city. I could have quickly learned that this wasn't the right fit, which is fine. It really is fine because I'll find something else. I'm not worried. I have a client base that is waiting. I mean, right now I have six cars queued. They're waiting for me to just call them up to say, bring it down here. And then, you know, I also have some of my clients have very influential contacts and things of that nature. So I'm not concerned that I could find another facility that's going to be a better fit. And that's the thing. I think now that I know what I'm looking for, what I need, it's going to be a better fit. I'm not concerned. At this point, there's too many gears are turning to be able to stop, to be able to, you know, be able to back off. I mean, obviously I'm on the auto detailing podcast. There's too late. Once you hit the auto detailing podcast, you can't turn around, man. You got to keep going. You got an audience. You got to answer to.
But that's why I really wanted you on the show too, because I'm really getting interested in more so tracking the journey of people too. So it's great to have like the people that have done it and are currently doing it. And I think, you know, integrating that is really important, but I really want people to resonate with other people that are doing it. And that's like, honestly, when I heard it kind of like fell apart, I was extremely interested because the last we talked, you were like in, you know? And so I was like, the heck?
Yep.
But also like,
and the podcast was supposed to be about how I made it, you know, and I could talk about the journey and like, I made it, guys.
Yes.
The grass is greener on the other side. It is bright and warm, you know? You get back a week later and no.
So that's how I was like, what the heck? But
You know what? I think this is actually, you know, as tragic as it is, you know, I have to see the positive in this. I have to, because it'll destroy me if I see the negative. Can you imagine having that conversation with a customer who has his, you know, Ferrari, his baby, and he can't get to it for a month because you have to go to court over something that is not even involves you? I mean, that'll destroy me. So this is a small hump in comparison to what could have been bad.
It could have been a
image.
Total nightmare.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Something I couldn't recover from. This I could totally recover from. I'm not worried. And the good part is that it's only February. It's 12 degrees outside. You know, there's all these cars that I'm doing right now are either they're going to probably be museum pieces and never roll down the street, or are customers who have car collections. I mean, I have customers that their collection is so vast, it would be almost like painting a bridge. By the time you got to the other end of the bridge, it's time to paint the first side.
Right.
You know, I have one gentleman that has 25 cars that I take care of. So I have work that I can take care of. I can keep the gear going. The day job. Now, I hadn't when I went to MTV. I keep doing that. MTE.
maybe you should go
like
check out.
Maybe
you should go watch MTV for a little bit.
I think that's what it is. I miss the MTV, you know, music videos. You know, at 8 o'clock in the morning while you're getting ready for school. You did that because I did.
Right. I did.
You know, it wasn't I went to my boss and be like, yeah, I'm quitting, you guys suck, and I ran out of the building. It was out of respect to them, because what had happened was, I got back from SEMA. That was, you know, a big rush, and it was only about a month later, MTE happened, and obviously I had to take, you know, that was during the week. I had to like take half the week off, and then I got back from MTE, and then the Detroit Auto Show, everybody calls it the Detroit Auto Show. It's called the actual international, the Michigan International Auto Show.
Okay.
So it starts in Detroit, comes to Grand Rapids, and then from Grand Rapids goes to Chicago. I don't know if it goes anywhere after that, but that's kind of the path of that show. So the show was coming to Grand Rapids. My marketing company called me up and said, hey, look, I know the director of the convention center that the show is going to be held in. I'm pulling some strings for you. And they have somebody who wants to talk with you. Turns out it's the local BMW dealership in my area. And I mean, in my area, there's only one BMW dealership in like a 40-mile radius. So it's like the dealership. And they want me to detail all their cars for the show. And so I gave them a price that I think they would say yes to. And they said yes. I was like, holy cow. So 27 cars in 2 days to get ready for the show.
Holy
and including
smokes.
A car that was, yeah. Including a car that was considered in the million mile, so that it's a special room where they'll have, you know, there was a Lamborghini in there, there was a Bentley's in there, a Rolls in there, and they had a 740 in there. So I detailed that, and it was, but it, yeah, 2 days, very intense, 12-hour days for sure. And then right after that, so that was like last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I get a phone call from the BMW dealership asking me to come down to the show because the local news broadcast is going to be filming them. They want me in the background cleaning cars. So kind of like, you know, B-roll kind of thing. So I go to that, do that event. And then I get a phone call, another different phone call. The GR Auto Gallery that I had mentioned in the beginning of the episode called me. They want to have a sit down and have a YouTube live interview where they kind of talk about what they're all about, because what's cool about them is that they strive for those garage find cars. They want the cars that have the history, you know, oh, this guy drove it, or it was owned by this person. They kept every service paperwork, and, you know, they want that car to have that history, and they love my thought process when I look at a car paint. I don't look at a car paint like, oh, it's scratched. I, you know, when I'm detailing a car, I don't know if it's geeky or weird, but I kind of think of myself as an investigator. And I look at that scratch and like, okay, what caused that? Or how did it get there? How's the paint going to respond when I hit it with this compound or that pad? You know, it's all that mystery and that discovery that really I like. I think it's really cool. And so they want to now interview me. So then I had the interview with them. They came down and sent a whole film crew to the shop and filmed me detailing a car. And then now I'm here on Auto Detailing Podcast. And it's just happening so quickly, so rapidly. You know, I haven't slept decently in probably going on a month. I haven't had a good night's sleep, but it is worth every moment. It really, really is because it's the people of this industry. I mean, if you're out there and you're listening to this episode right now and you're like, man, it's not that much fun, or you're down on your luck, or whatever it is, I'm telling you, this is the coolest industry that I've ever run across. I mean, I did the personal training thing. That was a lot of fun. I did the electronic hi-fi thing. It was cool. It had its expiration date. But this out of all the industries and of all the things and all the hats that I've worn, this is one of the hats that I'm so proud to be able to wear because of people like you, Ian, and the countless other people that are out there that are pushing this industry and are constantly making it grow for the positive. You know, it's really – that's one of the things I like out there. It's not getting convoluted. You know, in the audiophile industry – There we'll have conversations about the wooden block that you're going to put underneath the speaker wire that could make it sound better. It's like, really, guys, come on. You know, there's a little bit of reality has to play part there. And that's kind of what I have like about the detailing world is that when you talk about something, when you say you talk about a product or you talk about a result or a technique, there you see the result. It's instant. It's instant gratification, you know. And that's what's so cool about this hobby because, or this career is that it is, you know, you do get to see the results and things do make a difference. I mean, for me, I never thought microfiber towel would make a difference. I bought the Harbor Freight ones and then I advanced to the Costco and who needs that? It soaks up water. What much more do you want from it? Mm. To learn that there's a huge world and foam pad, I just went, hey, it's a foam pad. If it's got foam and a Velcro, good enough. It stays together while I'm doing my thing. I'm happy. You know, there's so much to the science, and it's so cool that to learn all of it and be involved. I wake up every morning, can't wait to see what's out on social media, what's coming next for the industry, what's on the horizon, the new tools, the new techniques. You know, the products are advancing, coatings are exploding. I think if you're going to want to be a detailer, if you want to have your own career and carve your own path, this is an open invitation. I really think it is, especially in my area. I've seen my competition. I've seen their quality of the work. I know I have no concerns. And you know, one of the things that I strive, especially having a day job, is that I can take the time and learn what my competition is doing. I can take the time and learn the proper techniques. I can watch the YouTube videos. I can reach out to the, you know, like, for example, like Kevin Brown. I mean, the god of detailing. You can call that guy. You can literally call him. Just pick up the phone and call him. He'll get back to you. If you have a question, you can call him. Same thing with you, Jimbo. If I have a question, I can ask you. You'll get a response. Name another industry where you can reach out to the high people and get a response.
Totally. Never. Right.
So to be able to get yourself educated is easy. Because a lot of other industries, you know, are shy to do that. You can't really learn that easy. They expect you to go through the same turmoil that they went through. Versus here at the auto detailing, you know, the detailing world, like, come on, let me show you. I 30 years ago, I learned this trick, and let me share that with you. And this is my, you know, this is my inside tool that I use.
Yeah.
So it's really cool how transparent everybody is in the industry.
And I'm with you. I think, you know, our industry or the detailing industry is really I know a lot of people have been saying it for a long time, but I feel like we've started to see like the insane growth of the industry. And I think we're really on that like hockey stick projection where we're just going to go up and up and up to where it's really going to get crazy, you know, and be really fun.
And for me, you know, I saved up the money to hire a marketing company. It was worth every single penny. I paid a small fortune to get in front of that company. Mm. It's worth it every time. If you can afford it, definitely do it. But here's the thing. If you can't afford it, there's still a way of you getting marketing information, getting ideas, and you know exactly the direction I'm heading in, Jimbo.
Right.
The detail inner circle, right? You know? You know, yes. Seriously.
Yep.
Because I before I hired my marketing company, that is something that I heavily considered. You know, financially, I could afford the marketing company, so I went in that direction. But the detailing inner circle, it gave all of that in a much more, you know, smaller, affordable package. What was
right.
$100 a month
yep.
you charge?
Yep.
You know, and anybody should be able to afford $100 a month. And if you can't afford $100 a month to educate your marketing plan, especially like Pete, he is a rocket scientist when it comes to marketing.
Right.
I stole some of his ideas. Like,
as you should.
The idea that, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you put more of him out there. I would love to hear more from Pete. But like his idea about that they're on your website, the consumer guides.
Yep.
You know, I think it's a great idea.
Yep.
You don't necessarily have to buy my detailing services, sir, but at least know these are the things you should be looking for when you are hiring a detailer. And I think it's a very smart idea because it's not a lot of high pressure sales for the detailer. So if you're not good at sales, you don't have to worry about it. And at the same time, you're selling, but you're not selling a product. You're selling your knowledge. You're saying, hey, I'm knowledgeable. And here's a thought that I had. When you're sick or you have a broken arm and you go to a doctor and he gives you a pill or puts your arm in a cast, do you question anything that he does? No. You couldn't get his services quick enough.
And right.
You want him to fix you right away. Well, why is that? Well, because he went to the education. He got the education, so he can do that. So you don't have to question it. So I think it's important to get those credentials, to get that education, mm-hmm. because you should be seen as an expert. You shouldn't have to prove yourself. You should be able to, you know, just say, I know this is the results you're going to get from the, and you have to be realistic too. I think, you know, a lot of people oversell their services. They get excited. And I've done it myself where, oh, I can totally pull that scratch out. And 10 minutes later, that's not going to happen. And so overselling, it's hard because most of us are passionate because it does, I think, take a good amount of passion to do this industry. And we get excited and we talk to the customer. We really want to detail our car, but to be able to give them almost sometimes I even tell them, no, I probably won't be able to get that out, or really give them a low expectation, not a horrible expectation, but give them an expectation that I know I can hit the mark and for sure exceed it. So when they pick up that car, they're like, oh my God, what'd you do? And you know, and you have to listen to your customer when you're talking to them and pick up on tidbits and ask them, what do you see that's wrong with your car? So you know what they're looking for and do all these. I always do something extra. I always go out of my way and do something they didn't think about. You know,
100%.
Like, for example, I had a I had one customer that had one of their kids put a marker on their leather seat. Okay, I don't know if you've ever coated leather. It doesn't take that long. The product that at least I use is reasonably priced. What do I have to lose by coating that customer seat?
Exactly.
So I quickly clean it, you know, put a coating on it, and say, hey, Mr. Customer, by the way, not only I got you what you wanted, I also coated your seat so your kids won't mark the seat. They're like, oh, what is that? You know, and that opens up a whole avenue of conversation with that customer. And obviously that person's going to go home and brag to somebody. And, you know, car guys hang out with other car guys, so might as well.
I agree. Yeah. I love it. Well, we've gone a little over an hour on the recording, so I want to wrap it up. But I'm so pumped up, and what this really lends itself to that I really like is that we can do a follow up show when you found the next location
cool.
and you're really moving in. I think people are going to be really excited to watch the journey of you progress and move forward. And I love how quickly everything's moving. And I think it's going to be just super exciting for people to watch. So if they want to find you, they want to follow your journey, they want to see, you know,
yes.
watch you as you go, how can
Absolutely.
People get a hold of you?
I mean, you can look, always, you can feel free to email me. You can feel free to call me. I feel like a lot of the other industry people throw that out there, and it's been helpful for me. So I feel like I have to almost pay it forward and help the next guy out and bring them as far as I've gotten. So you can follow me on Facebook. The name of my company is Revive Fine Auto Finish. So that's my page, my personal page. Feel free to follow me there as well. I do a lot more motivational postings on my personal page. I follow like people like Gary V. And so I do a lot of his posts and, you know, things like that. They really kind of keep you going. So my name is Khan, that's K-A-A-N. And then my last name is Aya, A-Y-A. And yes, I am just a white guy, even though that sounds completely Asian.
And saying that on my end, I was like, wow, this is probably so not politically correct. But like, oh, wow.
Well, I get it quite often, you know, and then I'm not a small guy either. I'm 6'3", 240 pounds. So, you know, it's like the name doesn't even match the size of who I am. It just completely, like when I meet people for the first time, and imagine being a sales guy with the name Khan. Can you imagine? Like, yeah, I'm Khan. They're like, convict? And they're like, yeah, by the way, what's your credit card number? So, you know, but by all means, if you want to follow me, I would love it. I also, if you want to reach me out, obviously my contact information is on my business page. Feel free to give me a call. Anything you guys can, you know, if there's some piece of information that you think I can give you, reach out to me. Love to pass along.
Love it, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show and doing this. You made an hour go by like 10 minutes.
I did not think we did an hour. I agree. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com for full show notes and links of everything that we've talked about today. And don't forget to check out our resources page for a direct link to all the products talked about not only on today's episode, but that I use in my day-to-day detail business. They have direct links so you can purchase and get free shipping right from that page. That's autodetailingpodcast.com. We'll see you on the next episode.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.